Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due. The unique with perfect attributes, he begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp, giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Today, inshallah, the title of the class is the Farewell Pilgrimage. Inshallah, we are continuing to learn about the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And actually, after the conquest of Mecca, all the idols had been smashed, and Quraysh had become Muslim. Also, most of the other tribes of Arabia came to declare their Islam. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had become the most powerful leader in the whole Arabia. On the 10th year of Al-Hijrah, that is to say 2 years after the conquest of Mecca, when the time came for the yearly pilgrimage, it was proclaimed that the Prophet would be going to Mecca. The Muslims came to Medina from all over Arabia to join him in the journey to the Kaaba. As the tribes arrived, they camped around the city until they finally numbered more than 30,000. MashaAllah. Now they are 30,000. MashaAllah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went out with his family and friends to meet them and to lead them on pilgrimage. But before setting off, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led all the Muslims in prayer. After the prayers, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam go on his camel and headed. He went on his camel and headed towards Mecca, followed by the pilgrims, all of whom for the first time in centuries worshipping Allah, the one God. For the first time in history, you know, people are coming from all Arabia to perform pilgrimage, but this time not for the idols, this time for Allah, to worship Allah, the one God. This is the first Hajj in history. In the 10th year, and it was the Hajj of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the 10th year of Hijrah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions were deeply moved by the sight of the huge number of Muslims accompanying them to Mecca, carrying no arms and fearing no one. After 10 days, the pilgrims marched at sunset through the same path by which they had entered on the day of the conquest of Mecca. He used the same way. When they reached Al-Kaaba, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood before it in prayer. Then he and all the Muslims walked around it 7 times. Next, just as Prophet Ibrahim had done, they went towards the Mountain of Mercy at Arafah, which the Prophet ascended on the camel. From the mountain, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the people or the Muslims in prayer, and then he spoke to them. When the Prophet said it, what the Prophet said is known as the farewell sermon, because it was the last speech the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made before his death. It was a long one, and at its end, he asked all the Muslims, "Have I not conveyed the message?" The multitude shouted out, "By Allah, yes." Then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "O Allah, bear witness to that." Then he recited Surah number 5, verse number 3. Now we will know about this verse of the Quran, which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited on the mountain of Arafah after asking all the people, "Have I not conveyed the message?" And they answered, "By Allah, yes." اليوم يئس الذين كفروا من دينكم فلا تخشوهم واخشون اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا فمن اضطر في مخمصة غير متجانف لإثم فإن الله غفور رحيم.
Okay. This day, those who disbelieved have given up all hope of your religion. So fear them not, but fear me. This day I have perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and have chosen for you Islam as your religion. But as for him who is forced by severe hunger, with no inclination to sin, such can eat these above mentioned meats, then surely Allah is all forgiving, most merciful.
Actually, sisters, many Muslims started to shed tears knowing that if the Prophet had completed his message, his life must be near its end. And in order to know the meaning of this verse of the Quran, Allah is saying the meaning that today the unbeliever reached a point of despair and realized that they cannot stop the message of Islam anymore. So you believers, don't fear them, but just fear your Lord Allah the One. This is the day when the religion attained its perfection, and no room was left for any further improvement. So no believer may then imagine that religion requires any addition or modification. Accordingly, all believers must be thankful to Allah for His blessings on them when He, Allah, had perfected their religion for them. Okay, so actually, this was the verse of the Quran which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned on the mountain of Arafah. And inshallah, we will learn the whole ceremony and we will learn a lot of lessons after we will continue about his journey in Hajj. After spending the day in Arafah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the rest of the Muslims completed the rest of the Hajj rituals. But before leaving Mecca, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited the grave of his devoted wife Khadija, who had been the first person to believe in Allah's revelation. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that this would be the last time he would see the grave or Mecca, because during the pilgrimage he had received the chapter of the Quran called Help, from which he knew that his death was not far away. Now we will recite that chapter of the Quran, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, and we will know about the fact that the death of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not far away. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا.
In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. When there comes the help of Allah to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, against your enemies in the conquest of Mecca, and you see the people enter Allah's religion in crowds, so glorify the praises of your Lord and ask for His forgiveness. Verily, He is the one who ever accepts the repentance and who forgives.
So actually, sisters, now we will know the meaning of this chapter of the Quran, because it is related to the last time of the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Actually, Ibn Abbas said to one of the companions, do you know the last chapter of the Quran that was revealed? He answered, yes, that chapter when there comes the help of Allah and the conquest. Chapter number 110, Surah Al-Fatih. And regarding the meaning of Surah Al-Fatih, we must know that the meaning of Al-Fatih, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ, the victory, and Al-Fatih. Al-Fatih is, it means the conquest of Mecca. And there is only one view concerning it. For indeed, the different areas of the Arabs were waiting, it is the conquest. Because the different areas of the Arabs were waiting for the conquest of Mecca before they would accept Islam. They said, if he, Muhammad, is victorious over his people, then he is a true prophet. So when Allah gives him victory over Mecca people, all the other tribes entered into the religion of Islam in crowds. Thus, 2 years didn't pass after the conquest of Mecca before all the Arabs, they became Muslims. And there didn't remain any of the tribes of the Arabs except they accept Islam, or they professed their acceptance of Islam, all praise belonging to Allah. Also, it was mentioned that when Mecca was conquered, all the people rushed to the Messenger of Allah to profess their Islam. The various regions were delaying their acceptance of Islam until Mecca was conquered. The people used to say, "Leave him and his people alone. If he is victorious over them, he is a true prophet." Also regarding إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when that chapter of the Quran was revealed, he said, "My death has been announced to me." He knew that he will die, and actually and indeed he died during that year, the 10th year of Hijrah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say often in his bowing and prostrating, "Glory to you, O Allah, our Lord, and praise be to you, O Allah, forgive me." Because Allah is saying to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the victory and the conquest of Mecca will come, so glorify the praises of your Lord and ask his forgiveness. So after that chapter was revealed to him, all the time when he was doing ruku' or sujood during his prayer, he was saying, "Glory to you, O Allah, and praise be to you, O Allah, forgive me." He did this as his interpretation of the Quran. Actually, Imam Ahmad recorded that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say towards the end of his life, "Glory to Allah and praise be unto him. I seek Allah's forgiveness and I repent to him. Subhanallah wa bihamdih, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh." Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Verily, my Lord has informed me that I will see a sign in my ummah, and he has commanded me that when I see it, I should glorify his praises and seek his forgiveness, for he is the one who accepts repentance. And indeed, I have seen it, the sign. When there comes the help of Allah and the conquest of Mecca, and you see that the people enter Allah's religion in crowds, so glorify the praises of your Lord and ask his forgiveness. Verily, he is the one who accepts the repentance and who forgives." So when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when that chapter of the Quran was revealed to him, it was the sign that the message had ended and became complete, and he is about to leave this world because he already conveyed the message. Allah created Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to convey the message of Islam. So when the message was completed, this means that he did what he was supposed to do and he created for, and now it is the time for him to return to Allah the Almighty. So actually this is the chapter of the help which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew from that chapter, that his death was not far away. Today, inshallah, we will learn in full details about the last sermon of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because these are the last words which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to the Muslims. And actually, every one of us must know about that sermon and must know what are the facts which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, and he actually wanted every one of us to remember about the message of Islam. We will read now that sermon, and inshallah we will learn in details about it. Yes.
You can read. This sermon was delivered on the 9th day of the Hijjah, 10 AH, in the Urana Valley.
Okay. Urana
Valley of Mount Arafat. "O people, lend me an attentive ear, for I don't know whether after this year I shall ever be amongst you again. Therefore, listen to what I am saying to you carefully and take these words to those who cannot be present here today. O people, just as you regard this month, this day, this city as sacred, so regard the life and property of every Muslim as a sacred trust. Return the goods entrusted to you to their rightful owners. Hurt no one so that no one may hurt you. Remember that you will indeed meet your Lord, and that He will indeed reckon your deeds. Allah has forbidden you to take usury interest. Therefore, all interest obligations shall be waived. Beware of Satan for your safety of your religion. He has lost all hope that he will ever be able to lead you astray in big things. So beware of following him in small things. O people, it is true that you have certain rights with regard to your women, but they also have right over you. If they abide by your right, then to them belongs the right to be fed and clothed in kindness. Do treat your women well and be kind to them, for they are your partners and committed helpers. And it is your right that they do not make friends with the one whom you do not approve, as well as never to commit adultery. O people, listen to me in earnest worship. O people, listen to me in earnest. Worship Allah, say your 5 daily prayers, Salat. Fast during the month of Ramadan and give your wealth in Zakat. Perform Hajj if you can afford to. You know that every Muslim is the brother of another Muslim. You are all equal. Nobody has superiority over the other except by piety and good action. Remember, one day you will appear before Allah and answer for your deeds. So be aware, do not astray from the path of righteousness after I am gone. O people, no prophet or apostle will come after me, and no new faith will be born. Reason well, therefore, O people, and understand my words which I convey to you. I leave behind me 2 things, the Quran and my example, the Sunnah, and if you follow you, will never go astray. O those who listen to me shall pass on my words to others, and those to others again. And may the last ones understand my words better than those who listen to me directly. Be my witness, O Allah, that I have conveyed your message to your people.
So actually, sister, this is the last sermon of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and now we will learn the main principles of that speech. Actually, in that speech, we were reminded that, number one, your blood, wealth, and honor are as sacred as this day, the day of Arafah, this land, and this month. These are eternal human rights, which no man made law or system could ever administer. To safeguard the people's blood, to safeguard the people's wealth, and to safeguard the people's dignity. We will recite from the verses of the Quran about these human rights so that we will be sure that Islam is the religion which gives the human rights in a way which no one can imagine. We will start by the verse related to safeguarding the people's blood, Surah number 2, verse number 179. الله الرحمن الرحيم ولكم في القصاص حياة يا أولي الألباب لعلكم تتقون.
And there is a saving of life for you in Al-Qisa, the law of the equality and punishment, O men of understanding, that you may become al-muttaqun, the pious.
Okay. So actually, sister, the meaning of this verse of the Quran is that the law in Islam is the law of the qisas, which is the law of equality in punishment. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that every Muslim must be aware that if you are planning to kill someone, you will be killed. Okay? And so be aware and be sure that your life will be the price for your crime. Okay, so be away from this. This is how Islam is safeguarding people's blood by this great warning. Okay, don't kill because you will be killed. Okay, we will learn also about how Islam is the religion that is looking for safeguarding people to wealth. We will recite from Surah number 4, verse number 38. Surah number 4, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Surah al-Nisa, verse number 38. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, 38. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wal-lazina, 38. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم 37 and 38 بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذين يبخلون ويأمرون الناس بالبخل ويكتمون ما آتاهم الله من فضله وأعتدنا للكافرين عذابا مهينا والذين ينفقون أموالهم رئاء الناس ولا يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ومن يكن الشيطان له قرينا فساء قرينا وماذا عليهم لو آمنوا بالله واليوم الآخر وأنفقوا مما رزقهم الله وكان الله بهم عليما Islam is looking for setting people's dignity. We will recite from Surah number 49. This is the correct one. Surah number 49, verse number 11 and 12. Surah number 49, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Surah al-Hujurat, verse number 11 and 12. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ya ayyuha al-lazina amanu, la yaskhar qawmun min qawmin, asa an yakunu khayran minhum, wala nisa'un min nisa'in, asa an yakunna khayran minhun. ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان ومن لم يتب فأولئك هم الظالمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم 11 and 12
O you who believe, let not a group scoff at another group. It may be that the latter are better than the former. Nor let some women scoff at other women. It may be that the latter are better than the former. Nor defame one another, nor insult one another by nicknames. How bad is it and to insult one's brother after having faith, to call your Muslim brother a faithful believer as a sinner or a wicked? And whosoever does not repent, then such are indeed zalimun, the wrongdoers. O you who believe, avoid much suspicion. Indeed, some suspicions are sins. And spy not, neither backbite one another. Would one of you like to eat the flesh of his dear brother? He would hate it, so hate backbiting. And fear Allah, verily Allah is the one who forgives and accepts repentance, most merciful.
Okay. Actually, the second matter which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminded the Muslims in that great sermon is that regarding the great harm and sin regarding usury and interest and riba. Okay, and actually it was mentioned in the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, many verses of the Quran regarding how usury is forbidden in Islam and it leads to total loss in this life and in the hereafter. And let us now recite some of these verses of the Quran because unfortunately nowadays usury and riba and interest is part of the life of most of us, all of us. Okay, so actually let us again remember what Allah said about al-riba in the Holy Quran. We will recite now from Surah number 2, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. From Surah number 2, verse number 275, 276, and 78, and 79. Okay, so we'll start by 275. الذين يأكلون الربا لا يقومون إلا كما يقوم الذي يتخبطه الشيطان من المس ذلك بأنهم قالوا إنما البيع مثل الربا وأحل الله البيع وحرم الربا فمن جاءه موعظة من ربه فانتهى فله ما سلف وأمره إلى الله ومن عاد فأولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون يمحق الله الربا ويربي الصدقات والله لا يحب كل كفار أثيم. We will move now to verse number 278. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وذروا ما بقي من الربا إن كنتم مؤمنين فإن لم تفعلوا فأذنوا بحرب من الله ورسوله وإن تبتم فلكم رؤوس أموالكم لا تظلمون ولا تظلمون. So you can read it, you have it here?
Yes, but it's not exactly like yours.
It's not exactly.
They're still
because,
very...
So...
Do you want me to... Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Those who eat riba, usury will not stand on the day of resurrection, except like the person beaten by shaitan, leading him to insanity. That is because they say, trading is only like riba, usury. Whereas Allah has permitted trading and forbidden riba, usury. So whosoever receives an admonition from his Lord and stops eating riba, usury, shall not be punished for the past. His case is for Allah to judge. But whoever returns to riba, usury, such are the dwellers of the fire. They will abide therein forever. Allah will destroy riba, usury, and will give increase for sadaqah, deeds of charity, alms, etc. And Allah lights not the disbelievers, sinners. 78. O you who believe, be afraid of Allah and give up what remains due to you from riba, usury, from now onward, if you are really believers. And if you do not do it, then take a notice of war from Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But if you repent, you shall have your capital sums. Dwell not unjustly by asking more than your capital sums, and you shall not be dealt with unjustly by receiving less than your capital sums.
So actually, sisters, it is very clear warning from Allah the Almighty to all the Muslims that we must actually stop living our life and using the usury in our life, because Allah is warning us that if we will not stop using the usury, okay, this means that Allah is in war on us. We have a war from Allah. And actually, sisters, if we are a true believer in Allah, and actually we already learned about the 99 names of Allah, we must be actually totally away from the idea of having a war with Allah the Almighty. No human being can stand a war from Allah. We are all living in the mercy of Allah, in the blessings of Allah, looking for the obedience of Allah, not for a war with Allah the Almighty. And we must believe that so long Allah is warning us against usury, this means that it is harm for the human beings. But unfortunately, it is the shaitan or the Satan who is all the time trying to deviate the people or the Muslims from the right path. And this is the last matter which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminded the Muslims on the last ceremony. He reminded and warned all the Muslims of the plots of shaitan concerning understanding and living the life, our life with Islam. Shaitan is all the time is having one goal in this worldly life, to deviate us from living our life according to the rules of Islam. Shaitan is all the time whispering to every one of us, Islam is a very difficult religion. The rules of Islam are very very difficult for any human being. You are forbidden from mixing, you are forbidden from showing your beauty, you are forbidden from enjoying the beach and the sea, you are forbidden from talking about everything, because we are not supposed to backbite or to say bad words or to mention the people in a bad way. So Islam is the religion of restrictions. This is how Shaitan is trying all the time to deviate the people or the Muslims from following the right path. But Allah the Almighty informed us in the Holy Quran that our main enemy is Shaitan. So if we recite the whole, if we recite the Holy Quran and if we believe in the message of Islam, we must believe that number one enemy for me is the Shaitan. So whatever Shaitan is whispering for me in my ear, I am supposed to say, no, I will not listen to you. I know that you are my enemy. I will do the opposite of your whispering. Okay, but unfortunately, the Shaitan is always the winner now on the earth. If you look around, you will notice that it is the Shaitan rules, not Allah's rules. But actually, this is the problem of the Muslims, because they are not interested much to know about the Islam or to follow Islam. But alhamdulillah, Islam is the good religion. Islam is not the religion of the restrictions. Islam is the religion which is aiming for having righteous people. Okay, if we don't mix much, this is very important for any family, okay, to be a good family. Because suppose you are a very beautiful sister and I am not so beautiful as you are. And if we are neighbors and every weekend we will mix together from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., my husband is sitting with you and observing your beauty, and then when he will, at the end of the day, he will look to me and he will notice that there is a difference in the beauty between that very beautiful neighbor and his wife, gradually he will hate me. 100%, because the eye likes what is beautiful. This is how Allah created us. But maybe his wife is having a good heart, is a good human being, she has good manners, you know, she is more valuable than the other one whom she's having only the external beauty. But too much mixing will confuse the rules. Okay, so this is Islam. Why Islam is not, encouraging us, or is actually against the mixing between those whom they are not legal for me to mix with. I can mix with my brother, with a family of my brother, with my husband's family, if there are no men, you know, all men whom they are not legal for me. I can mix basically with my father, with my husband, with my brother family, and with my sister family, but her husband is not legal for me. If I mix with those, I can put my head cover, okay? And I can mix with limitations. I am not supposed to go to visit my sister, for example, and my sister will sleep at night, for example, early at 7 o'clock, and I will enjoy the time and the television with my with her husband. No problem. What is the problem? And if I am not covered, if I have long hair and beautiful eyes and I have an open dress, my sister is sleeping and I am enjoying the movie with my brother-in-law, what is the problem? The problem is number three with us, it's Shaitan. Because if there is a man and a woman, the third one, and they are not legal in legal relation, number three is the Shaitan. No problem. And this is happening in every place and all over the world. If we are not actually aware of our desires, how we are very weak as human beings, Shaitan will win on us. So Allah, make it easy for us. Don't mix. Okay, this is Islam. All the time Islam will take the precautions so that we will not do the sin, and then we will be very sad. How come I did a big crime like this regarding my sister to sit with her husband, and her husband will tell me, you look very beautiful, you are very nice. Say to your sister to take care of herself like you are taking care of yourself. Okay, what is this? This is haram. This is illegal. girl, this is not good, you know. This is not the honest relation. I am coming to visit my sister or to cause troubles for her, between her and her husband. So Islam is the religion which is always teaching us to take the precautions so that we will not be sinners. This is Islam. This is excellent. When I take the precautions, I will be very relaxed. Alhamdulillah. I visit my sister. I sit with my sister. Salaamu alaikum, my sister. Salaamu alaikum, my brother-in-law. That's it. Okay. Like, so this is, you know, how we are supposed to know about shaitan and his rule in our life. And actually, sister, we must always remind ourselves that, and every one of us to remind herself, my main enemy is my shaitan. Then myself. Those are my two enemies. The shaitan or my shaitan, because every one of us is having a shaitan with him, running with him like the blood. And my weak self. Because the shaitan will whisper to my weak spirit or self, then I will do whatever he commanded me to do. Because every one of us, we must know that your spirit is very weak regarding the desires. But if you have a clear faith, strong faith, if you fear Allah, if you take the precautions, okay, you will save yourself, okay, from doing anything. But if you will leave yourself to the shaitan and to your desires, you are lost. Okay, so now we will recite from the Holy Quran, from Surah number 2, verse number 208, okay, to learn about our main enemy in life. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. I think it is your
turn. Okay. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All you who believe, enter perfectly in Islam by obeying all the rules and regulations of the Islamic religion, and follow not the footsteps of shaitan. Verily, he is to you a plain enemy.
Actually, Allah mentioned that fact again in Surah number 17, verse number 53. Surah number 17.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقل لعبادي يقولوا التي هي أحسن إن الشيطان ينزغ بينهم إن الشيطان كان للإنسان عدوا مبينا.
And say to my slaves, the true believers of Islamic monotheism, that they should only say those words that are the best, because Shaitan said, verily, so a state of conflict and disagreement amongst them, surely Shaitan is to man a plain enemy.
Okay, so actually, regarding the shaitan is our enemy. Why the shaitan is our enemy? Okay, to know about how the shaitan is our enemy. Shaitan is our enemy because the shaitan is all the time trying through the false promises, okay, to turn us away from the right path. We will learn about these facts from Surah Ibrahim, Surah number 14, verse number 22. We will learn about how the shaitan is deceiving the human beings, trying to deviate them from the right path. Then on the day of judgment, he will say, I didn't push anyone to follow me. Surah number 14, verse number 22. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقال الشيطان لما قضي الأمر إن الله وعدكم وعد الحق ووعدتكم فأخلفتكم وما كان لي عليكم من سلطان إلا أن دعوتكم فاستجبتم لي فلا تلوموني ولوموا أنفسكم ما أنا بمصرخكم وما أنتم بمصرخي إني كفرت بما أشركتموني من قبل إن الظالمين لهم عذاب أليم.
And Shaitan, Satan, will say when the matter has been decided, verily Allah promised you a promise of truth, and I too promised you, but I betrayed you. I had no authority over you except that I called you, and you responded to me. So blame me not, but blame yourselves. I cannot help you, nor can you help me. I deny your former act in associating me as a partner with Allah, but obey me in the life of this world. Verily, there is a painful torment for those Zalimun, the polytheists and wrongdoers.
So actually, sister, this is a very important verse of the Quran which every one of us must remember. Okay, that on the day of judgment, the shaitan will say, why you follow me? Allah was the one guiding you to the right path. I didn't tell to you to follow me at all. You see, so we must always remember this fact when we have the whispers of the shaitan in our ears all the time, we must say to the shaitan, you are a liar and the right path is the good path and you are trying now to deviate us from the right path. But on the day of judgment, you will say Allah's path was the right one, and then we will be the one paying the price for listening to you. Actually, the fourth fact or the fourth matter which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded the Muslims was the kind treatment of the woman. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, oh people, it is true that you have certain rights with regard to your women, but they also have rights on you or over you. Inshallah, next class, when we will learn about the death of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will also learn about how Islam honored women and respected their dignity in detail. Because today, inshallah, we will continue with the sermon of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recalled the five obligatory pillars of Islam in his khutbah. Number one, ash-shahada. Ash-shahada is the testimony of Islam. There is no God but Allah. Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. The five daily prayers, fasting the month of Ramadan, payment of annual zakat, performing al-hajj pilgrimage at least once in your lifetime if you can afford it. These are the obligations that man must do, okay, as a proof that I am a Muslim, because these are the five pillars of Islam. If we don't do or follow fulfill the five pillars of Islam, so we are not Muslims. So the problem is that there are some Muslims whom they are not praying. So how they consider themselves Muslims if they don't fulfill the five basic pillars of Islam? And one of them which is very important, okay, is the prayer, okay, as-salah. Okay, so Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he reminded us again before his death regarding the importance of the five pillars of Islam. Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he reminded us that we are all equal. Every Muslim is the brother of another Muslim, because we are all having one father who is Prophet Adam, and we are all from Adam, and Adam is from dust. Okay, we will recite about these facts from Surah number 49, verse number 13.
الرحمن الرحيم إنما المؤمن فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The believers are nothing else than brothers in Islamic religion, so make reconciliation between your brothers and fear Allah that you may receive mercy.
So actually, sister, this is one of the most important rules in Islam, that we are all Muslims, brothers and sisters, and no one is better than the other one except by piety. And actually, Allah mentioned this fact also in this Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in this chapter of the Quran, in verse number 13. Okay, we will recite now from the same chapter number 49, verse number 13, to know that we are all equal in front of Allah, and we are all from Adam, and Adam is from dust, but superiority in Islam is not up to gender or race, but up to piety and good action. Surah number 49, verse number 13. Ya ayyuha an-nas inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu. Inna akramakum 'indallahi atqakum. Inna Allaha 'alimun khabir.
O mankind, we have created you from a male and a female and made you into nations and tribes that you may know one another. Verily, the most honorable of you with Allah is the believer who has al-taqwa. He is the one of the mutakun, the pious. Verily, Allah is all-knowing, well-acquainted with all things.
Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised the Muslims to hold the fast and live according to the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that he died, okay, but he left for us the two sources of Islam, okay, the Holy Quran and his Sunnah, his sayings and his way of life. So if you want to follow Islam, don't look around. Okay, how Muslims are practicing. No, this is not the advice of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The advice of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that if you want to live Islam as a way of life, if you want to follow the message of Islam, you have only two sources, the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. Last advice of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that he mentioned that he is the last prophet and Islam is the last message. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the seal of the prophets to call people to the true worship of Allah and to remove people from ignorance. And we will recite from Surah number 33, verse number 40 to know about that fact. الرحمن الرحيم ما كان محمد أبا أحد رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين وكان الله بكل شيء عليما
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم is not the father of any of your men, but he is the messenger of Allah and the last end of the prophets, and Allah is ever all-knower of everything.
So, actually, sisters, we Muslims must be aware of all these advices and instructions of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who ended his speech saying, "Be my witness, O Allah, that I have conveyed your message to your people." So actually, on the Day of Judgment, Allah the Almighty will question us about all of these advices and instructions which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in his last sermon, so that on the Day of Judgment, he will be in front of Allah away from all the mistakes of the Muslims. Okay, they did these mistakes in spite of the fact that in his last sermon, he mentioned most of the facts of the Islam, so that Allah will be his witness that he conveyed the message in the best way. So in summary, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his last sermon insisted on the basic facts of Islam. Number one, the human rights regarding the life property of every Muslim, which must be considered as a sacred trust. Number two, usury is haram, riba is haram and sin and must be forbidden. Number three, be aware of shaitan, your main enemy. Number four, the kind treatment of the women. Number five, the five pillars of Islam. Number six, Muslims are equal brothers. Superiority is by piety and good action. Number seven, no prophet and no message after the prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And number eight, Muslims must hold fast to the Quran and the Sunnah of the prophet. This sermon is a proof of the sincerity, care and compassion of our beloved prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam towards his Lord, message and the people. May Allah the Almighty reward him all the good and reward him the highest paradise, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen.